Thank you so much. Now, good morning. And welcome to each one of you. We're glad that you're here, and we're glad that we're, as well as we are, to be able to come out today. I know for some of you it's been a real push, and we appreciate that, and it's lovely to see you here in the house of God today. We've so much to rejoice in, haven't we? The Saviour has come, and he's coming again. We're going to have our first scripture reading at this point, and that is from Abigail. Thank you.
Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2, 6, and 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Thank you so much. And now we're going to sing together, O Come All Ye Faithful. And after we have done that, then it's over to Alice to give her reading after we sing this carol together. Keeping our seats, O Come All Ye Faithful.
Thank you.
Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 35. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God."
Wouldn't be a morning meeting without a wee talk to the boys and girls now, would it? And we've had those two young people read so really well, and we thank you so much for that. Not a word wrong. I wish I could say the same. Well, we have been thinking about how we could maybe learn more about ourselves and about God and about God's Word, the Bible, through some of the things I've been bringing in recent weeks. What have I been bringing in? Yes. Gloves, that's right, because we started to get a wee bit chilly, we came into the winter time, and I thought, there's bound to be a lesson we can learn through gloves, and I think there was. We've learned some things, haven't we? We learned about the old grubby gardening glove, and how we wouldn't need weeds or thorns and have to deal with them if it hadn't been for a thing called sin. And then we had the food preparation glove. This has got rather well worn by now. And how that reminds us that things get passed on. And of course, sin get passed on to us. Then we had the marigold, the glove that reminds us of washing and getting clean and getting rid of things. And it tells us there's a remedy. God has done something. He has sent salvation, and that came through Jesus, of course. And then we also had the little baby glove, the little mitten. And when we start our Christian life having trusted the Lord, having had our sins washed away, it's just like beginning like a newborn baby with the Lord Jesus as our Savior. Then we had this boy, the boxing glove. And nobody took me on after the service that day for some reason. And we had to remind ourselves that we have an enemy. We have somebody who's trying to knock us down and keep us down. We're not that long saved until we realize that. And we thought about the boxing glove. And then last week we had this little glove along, and it really makes no sense unless I put it on. So I'll try and put it on again today. And this was the training glove. And Paul talks about how we need to exercise in spiritual things. And that's why we come here week by week. That's why you go to Sunday school and Bible class. And that's why we have children's clubs. All of these things are to help us to develop and to grow and to become strong in the Lord. Well, those are all the ones we've done. Any ideas what kind of glove I might have brought along with me today?
Christmas glove. A Christmas glove.
Well, do you know, I tried my best to find a Christmas glove, and the closest I could come to it was this one here, which is just a nice, cozy, woolly glove. And this is the kind of glove, of course, you would need to put on if you're going out in the cold. And going out in the, what do you call the white stuff we're all looking for when we're your age? Yes. Slush. Who said slush? It could only be Northern Ireland, couldn't it? Snow. And what do you make with snow? Snowmen, snow angels. Oh, you're so good there. Ballyclare. I was thinking more of this here. Well, that'll tell you to pay attention in future. All right, Richard. Snowballs. And you need to have your hands nice and warm for those, don't you? They're all so sanctified, they're not going to dare throw them back at me. Do you see that? If you go out shopping in the cold, you have to carry bags. Helps a few of these on, doesn't it? And they make great presents. And this just really looks to me as if it was homemade, doesn't it? As if your granny knit it. And I'll tell you, she must have known me well because it's perfect, a perfect fit. And they make great presents because they're easy to wrap and hand out. And they're not that expensive. So, our little woolly, cozy glove. But if you were going to start making one of these, and you had the wool and you had the needles, what else do you think you might need? A pattern, yes. A knitting pattern. It would be double dutch to me, but there's people in here, and I'm looking at one of them, and they could read a knitting pattern. They even don't need a knitting pattern anymore. They could knit them blindfolded. But there's a pattern. There's something to follow. Something to tell you what to do. And if you do it, you'll not go wrong. And that just reminds me of God's Word, the Bible. And how in there, we have a pattern to live by. In fact, we have a great picture to live by. And although there's no pictures in my Bible, it's actually one great big picture, and it's a picture of God. And we have a wonderful picture of Jesus. And if we follow that picture and we make him our pattern, we'll not go wrong. But there's something else. Where does wool come from? Sheep. Yep. And the Bible's full of references to sheep. Do you know we're called sheep in the book of Isaiah? All we like sheep have gone astray. So we're pictured like sheep. Like lost sheep, Jesus talks in the parable about the lost sheep and how he so caringly goes after that one lost sheep to find it and to rescue it. There's a time whenever Jesus is called a sheep. And that's in Isaiah as well. And it's the time that hundreds of years before it happened, it talks about something that was going to happen. And that was Jesus was going to die on the cross. And that wee verse says that Jesus would be like a sheep before a shearer. The one time Jesus, instead of being like the shepherd, he becomes the sheep, is when he's taking your place and mine. In fact, in another place, he's called the Lamb of God. And the verse is up behind the screen. The Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. But that's not the only thing. The wonderful truth about God's word is, and the wonderful promises about God's salvation is, that even though we have terrible things in our lives, sins that would keep us out of God's heaven, they can all be washed away. And that reminds me of another verse about wool. Though our sins are as deep dyed as that red, if we trust in Jesus, they can be washed as white as wool. I hope whenever you think about the wee gloves we've brought along, it might also make you think about what God says about us through his word and what his word says about him. Now let's join together in prayer. Father, we thank you for each young person you've blessed us with. We thank you for the homes they come from. We pray that you will bless all who raise them, give them the grace and the strength and the fellowship of your Spirit to be a good influence in these little lives. We pray your hand of protection upon them in these evil days, and may they early in life come to know you and know you through your word, and know you through your Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Now we're going to enjoy our brother Paul's ministry. Thank you, Paul.
Well, it's nice to be here for your Christmas morning service and to share in it. Listening to what I've already heard, I think it's special enough without me coming to ruin it. But it is seriously lovely to share with you this morning. I want to sing two songs. The first one is a story song, and the second one is where we get the theology. Just in case when you listen to the first song, you think, what's this about? I'm trying to set the scene of what Bethlehem was like, because we're inundated at this time of the year with cute little manger scenes. Really wasn't like that. He was born in poverty in a totally undesirable place that no parent here would wish to see their children in. But yet he did that and was made lowly for us. So just listen to this story song, and then I'll bring you a great song from Graham Kendrick that talks about the humiliation of Christ. It was not a silent night. There was blood on the ground. You could hear a woman cry in the alleyway that night, on the streets of David's town. And the stable was not clean, the cobblestones were cold. Little Mary, full of grace, with the tears upon her face, had no mother's hand to hold. 'Twas a labor of a cool sky above, for the girl on the ground in the dark, every beat of her beautiful heart was a labor of love. Noble Joseph at her side, calloused hands and weary eyes. There was no midwife to be found in the streets of David's town, in the middle of the night. So he held her and he prayed. Of moonlight on his face, for the baby in her womb was the maker of the moon, was the author of our faith that could make the mountains move. 'Twas a labor of pain. It was a cool sky above, for the girl on the ground in the dark, every beat of her beautiful heart was a labor of love. Little Mary, full of grace, with the tears upon her face, had no mother's hand to hold. Mm-hmm. I love the words of this second song. It's very, very wordy. Comes from a great poet. But just listen clearly to the words, and I trust the Lord will bless them to your heart.
Meekness and majesty, manhood and deity, in perfect harmony, the man who is God, Lord of eternity, dwells with humanity, kneels in humility, and washes our feet. What a mystery, meekness and majesty. Bow down and worship, for this is your God. This is your sacrifice, and as they crucified, prayed, Father, forgive. Oh, what a mystery, meekness and majesty. Bow down and worship, for this is your wisdom unsearchable, God the invisible, love indestructible, in frailty appears. Lord of infinity, stooping so tenderly, lifts our humanity to the heights of His throne. Oh, what a mystery, meekness and majesty.
Indeed, this, the babe in the manger, is your God. Our next scripture reading is from Chris Morrison. Thank you, Chris.
Luke chapter 2, 1 to 14. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. So Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house in the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to marry him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to him, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause you great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests."
Thank you, Chris. Now we're all going to sing together, and this time at sea amid the winter snow, keeping our seats. And after we do so, then it's over to Joshua Collier, who's going to bring our final reading.
This reading is taken from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star had appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem, and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way.
Thank you. Now it's over to Paul for another slot. Thank you so much.
Your pastor reminded me that I sang this song at his installation. It's probably not a good choice at this time of the morning, but I just love the words and I hope we can hit the notes.
Down from his glory, ever living story, my God and Savior came, and Jesus was his name. Born in a manger to his own a stranger, man of sorrows, tears, and agony. Oh, how I love him, how I adore him, my breath, my sunshine, my all in all, the great Creator became my Savior, and all God's fullness dwelleth in reluctance. Flesh and blood, his substance, he took the form of man, reveal God's hidden plan. Oh, glorious mystery, sacrifice of Calvary. Now I know thou art the great I am. Oh, how I love him, how I adore him,
all God's fullness dwelleth in Him. What condescension, bringing us redemption, that in the dead of night not one faint hope in sight. God, gracious, tender, lead aside His splendor, stooping to woo, to win, to save my soul.
No limits.
shall sing throughout eternal ages, with choirs extolling His great love on high. My soul shall sing throughout eternal ages, with choirs extolling His great love on
Thank you so much for your ministry and for setting the scene for us, and also providing wonderful poetic explanations of what took place when Jesus came. Well, in Luke's Gospel and in chapter 2, we read this in verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Something was about to happen. This man was waiting. What was about to happen, or why was he waiting? Well, then the chapter goes on to say this: it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. I'm sure when a baby arrives in your home and it comes to Christmas, you receive cards, "Baby's First Christmas." But here's a man, and this was going to be his first Christmas, although the word Christmas wasn't going to be invented for another 1,000 years. But it was also going to be his last Christmas. How unusual! His first Christmas and his last Christmas. But the Holy Spirit had shown him something. He wasn't going to die until he saw the Lord's Messiah. The Messiah was coming. Of course, many people of Simeon's time believed that the coming of the Messiah was getting closer and closer. Many people were really hoping it would be soon. But a few very special people knew something that all the others didn't. I'm thinking of Zacharias, the priest, and his wife Elizabeth, because they knew that their son, John the Baptist, was going to be used to prepare the people for the ministry of the Messiah. So they knew that it was imminent. Mary and Joseph, of course, they knew that the Messiah was going to be born, as we have heard in most of our readings and songs so far. Both of those couples knew what they knew because they had been visited by an angel. But here's a man, and he knew that the Lord was expected, and he knew that he wouldn't die until he saw the Lord, but he knew through the work of the Holy Spirit something was going to happen. God was sending his Savior. Now roll on 2,000 years to our time and our day and our generation. And we have, through the inspiration of the Spirit and through also the conviction of the Spirit as we read the Word, we know, we have been told, it has been revealed to us that Jesus is coming again. Are we waiting? Are we expecting? The same Holy Spirit that spoke to Simeon speaks to us today, as I've said, through his word, and as he opens our eyes to his precious word. This man was waiting. And he's expecting. Now, none of us like waiting terribly much, do we? So many of you, I know, are waiting for hospital appointments, you're waiting for consultations, and then, as you know, you're on a list, you're always expecting it'll be soon, and then it just seems to go on. And the stress regarding that, and whenever the time you thought passes, do I ring, do I bother them, do I, and so on. We don't like waiting, do we? For the kids, it's a different story. Six sleeps until Christmas Day. Is that right? Difference for you guys is that you know that Christmas Day is the 25th of December. Do you know that good things will happen when you get up on that morning? But what if you don't know the day or the hour? That's another thing, isn't it? That's entirely different. Expecting something, waiting for something, but we don't know when it's going to happen. Well, Simeon didn't know exactly when the Savior would be born, but he knew that it was getting close. Something was about to happen, and he's waiting for it. Well, how did he wait? Well, end of verse 25, we read this. The Holy Ghost was upon him. The Holy Spirit was upon this man. And we can see in the short little history we have of him that he was influenced by the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. And what happens when a man like Simeon is led by the Spirit? Verse 26, it was revealed unto him that he would not see death. And he came into the temple led by the Spirit. So he's listening to the voice of the Spirit. He has an openness, he wants to know. And God comes to hearts like that. If you're here today, and you came, you didn't know what really to expect, but if you came with a heart open to hear from God, God will not disappoint you. And maybe you're a Christian here today, you know that you need to be led by the Spirit. Imagine if Simeon hadn't been feeling hyper-spiritual that day when he got up. We've all been there. Imagine if he hadn't had a very good night's sleep and he was feeling a wee bit sorry for himself that day. He'd maybe got out of the wrong side of the bed and was out of sorts. And he would, like we all do, we excuse ourselves. Oh, this is not, I'm not in great form today. So I'm not going to just maybe get into God's word this morning and leave myself in a position where God can speak to me. Because the Lord understands I'm not just myself. And how often do we not write ourselves a sick note when it comes to spiritual things? Simeon's an older man. But he's living every day in the expectation that something's going to happen. And he's led by the Spirit to come into the temple. What about us? He's tuned in to God and the things of God and the promptings of God. What about us? We like to use the phrase, seeing is believing, don't we? We usually use that in relation to promises that people make us. But here's a man who believed before he saw. For 400 years, the prophets had been silent. John the Baptist was still only a wee baby at the day of Simeon, and it was going to be some time before he would be the last prophet and would begin to stir people up. Time had passed, and maybe someone like Simeon would have had his doubts. But 400 years ago, this Messiah was promised, and even longer, and he still hasn't come. It's a wee bit like today, isn't it? Because a lot more than 400 years has passed since Jesus went, and when he went back into glory, he said that he would come again. But we read this in 2 Peter 3. Knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Peter says, he will come. And long after Peter's day, we're still expecting Jesus. And although we haven't seen him, we believe. We believe him. We've taken him at his word. We trust him. And he does keep his promises. And Simeon believed in a God who keeps his promises. Well, that day that we've read about, something did happen. Simeon is in touch with the Lord. He makes his way into the temple under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you've ever been in Jerusalem, you'll know that the Temple Mount's not called the Temple Mount for nothing. It's up high, steps everywhere leading up. And here's this older saint making his way there. He came in the Spirit into the temple. And what happened? The parents brought in the child, Jesus. The name Jesus means the Lord is salvation, or the Lord our salvation, or even the Lord my salvation. He didn't miss seeing the Lord's salvation. There's somebody here today and you don't have a clear testimony that you can say, I belong to the Lord, I'm right with God. Don't miss his salvation. Believer, maybe you're the one missing out. Maybe you're in a position where you're not so in tune with the Lord anymore. You can't say that really your life of late has been led and influenced and directed by the Spirit. Well, something was about to happen and he was waiting for it, he was expecting it, and then something did happen. God manifest in flesh, God with us, Emmanuel, and the baby Jesus is brought into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then Simeon took him up in his arms. Now just stop there 1 minute. And so many of the songs, the ones Paul has chosen, the ones that we have been singing as carols together, talk about the vast different distance that God came to reach us. The great Creator became my Savior. Wesley wrote these words, Charles Wesley that is, let earth and heaven combine, angels and men agree to praise and songs divine, the incarnate deity, our God contracted to a span. Incomprehensibly made man. This older saint is able to pick up and hold in his arms the great Creator. This is the Lord who promised to hold us. This is the Lord who promises to bear us on his wings. This is the Lord who promises to carry us on his shoulders. This is the one who promises to lift us out of pits and miry clay. And this old saint is able to pick him up in his arms. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. His last Christmas. First Christmas. His last Christmas. And yet he's rejoicing. Why is he rejoicing? Well, he's rejoicing that his believing wasn't in vain. His trust wasn't misplaced. He believed God and God kept his word. All his waiting and all his expectation was worth it. He said he would come and he came. But also he sees that this is salvation that has come in this wonderful person. All those pictures and types and shadows and illustrations that we talk about and we'll be talking about tonight in the tabernacle, all of those things were pointing to one who would come and do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves, take our place, become our Savior. And the Gentiles were going to be reached. That's us who were not brought up in the covenants of promise, us who are not Jews by birth. We were going to be enlightened. The gospel was going to reach us, going to spread throughout the world. Reasons to rejoice, but I believe there's another reason for Simeon to rejoice. He was going home. He was going home. Let your servant depart in peace. Oh, so many of us, we want to cling on to every hour of this world with our fingernails to the last. Sin us. But here's a man who says, Lord, I'm ready to depart in peace. Paul said something similar, the Apostle Paul. I'm ready to depart. And in fact, he said that he had a desire to go, to be with Christ, which is far better. What about you? If this was your last Christmas, are you ready to go? Are you longing to go? For you, will it be far better? As Simeon looked at that little infant, he would have had mixed emotions because he knew his days were numbered. He stared life in the face when he looked at that little child. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But as he held that child, he also was staring death in the face. His death. Isn't that also the case for those who stood around the cross? They thought they were looking death in the face as they saw Jesus dying there, having done no sin of his own, but he was dying there for your sin and mine. They thought they were looking death in the face, but really they were also looking life in the face. Because in him taking our death, in exchange he gives us his life. What a gospel. And it's the same at the tomb. Mary thought she was going to look in the face of death. But on resurrection morning, she discovered the tomb had burst. And Jesus was alive and alive forever. Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken by Simeon. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. What an odd thing to say. He's holding this infant in his arms. Here is his mother and here is her husband Joseph. They're in the temple. This is an occasion being marked. It should have been a time of joy, of worship, of celebration. Simeon knows that this child, like all babies, will grow. We were all babies once. And that child would one day grow to be a man, and that man would one day walk to Calvary because of sin. Why did Jesus come? So that he could give us this wonderful time of the year, so that he could make us a more generous people and hand out presents and think of our neighbor once a year? No. Jesus came because God takes sin seriously. God cannot overlook sin. He can't brush it under the carpet. He has to deal with it. But he has to deal with it in such a way that will confirm his perfect righteousness and justice. But in doing that, he also has to deal with it in such a way that still confirms his unimaginable love and mercy. And also has to deal with sin in such a way as to confirm all of his attributes at the expense of none. And that's why Jesus took a body, so that he could die. And this was God's master plan, and it's his only way. But isn't it wonderful? There is a way. There is a way. There is a way for us to feel like Simeon and know that all is well and long to depart. When it comes my turn to depart, if this should be my last Christmas, I won't be departing having seen the face of Jesus. I'd be departing this world having not seen the face of Jesus. But here's the beauty. I'd be going to immediately see my Savior. Simeon only had a glimpse. But those of us, according to Revelation 22 and 4, they shall see his face. Those of us who go into eternity ready will see his face forever. Are you ready? Are you listening to the Spirit? Are you expecting him to come? Do you know if this will be your last Christmas? Oh, trust him. He's worthy of our trust. Come to him, and if you need help, we'll be only too glad to speak to you. Our final carol is Hark, the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King, keeping our seats. Father, we give you our thanks and praise today that we were able to come and able to worship you. You are worthy. Thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus. Thank you for those who were able to see him. But Lord, we thank you that many of us who haven't seen him have that glorious prospect still ahead. We shall see his face. And it's all because of the salvation that has been provided and that we have accepted freely that salvation. Lord, if any here today haven't yet done so, will you help them? Pour your Spirit upon them. Lord, we pray that you will bless our families over this Christmas time. May we even have opportunities to share the good news with those we love. And Father, we pray that you'll keep us safe and that your hand of good will be upon us, upon our community, upon our nation, and upon our world. We especially remember Burkina Faso, where our offering will go, hopefully, to make some difference there. Lord, for the saints there who are so persecuted, and for all who are living in fear there, and for all who have lost loved ones through this terrorism, and for all who are in every kind of need, we pray that you will come to them in a way that will even multiply what we as a church can give or do and meet the needs we ask. Thank you, Jesus, that you came. Amen.